Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our sermon series is called Living Under the Lordship of Christ. As you might remember, Isaac talked to us on the first week about the wandering eye and our need to live in control. Celia then talked to us about the idle hand and our need to live in service. Jasper then came along and talked to us about the prideful heart and our need to live in humility. Last week, I talked to you about the troublesome tongue and our need to live in truthfulness. And this week, we're talking about the deceived mind and our need to live in wisdom. Allow me to give you my conclusion at the very beginning of this sermon, just in case. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. Before we unpack that message, let's ask God to help us understand and act on what we hear. Almighty God and Father, please open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it. Open our hearts to receive it. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our world has an ever-increasing abundance of knowledge. What it lacks is wisdom. What's the difference? Well, as you might know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Or perhaps something more serious, knowledge is knowing how to build an atomic bomb. Wisdom is knowing that we should never use it. Now let me bring this into the context of the church. There is an old joke amongst clergy that, maybe it's a joke amongst old clergy, I'm not sure. There's an old joke amongst clergy that goes something like this. My Bible study group is quite advanced. They can recite all the sins in the book of Amos, and they do them every week. Knowledge is not equal to wisdom. The opposite of wisdom is folly or foolishness. This contrast is found throughout the Bible. The book of Proverbs is full of comparisons between the wise person and the fool. And even the book of Psalms begins with a similar contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And we learn that the righteous person delights in the law of the Lord, whereas the wicked are not so. The deceived mind, you see, says no to God and no to his word. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. In the New Testament, we hear that the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Knowledge told the fool that it was technically possible or plausible to build a house upon the sand, and so he did. The wise man saw the bigger picture, which is more than just what is possible or plausible. So the answer to the question, why should we do this, is not because we can. Knowledge tells us how we do something. Wisdom tells us why we do or don't do it. The devil used his knowledge of the Bible to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He put forward a plausible plan. And the offer was tempting because worldly wisdom or knowledge offered a painless alternative. If Jesus took the devil's deal, he would get what he wanted, what he came for, without having to suffer for it. But Jesus had the wisdom to say no to all of Satan's temptations because he knew the bigger picture and he understood his mission in the context of God's love and sovereign plan to save his people from eternal death. And this is how the Apostle Paul wants us as followers of Jesus to live our lives, by thinking with godly wisdom. In Romans 12 verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world," in other words, to the way that this world thinks, "but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to live by God's bigger picture, not just by the plausible possibilities that lie before us. One of the repeated prayers in the Bible is that we may have our eyes opened to this bigger picture, to this greater understanding of God's love and of God's plan. You remember in Ephesians 3, Paul says in verse 18, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, we don't just know about God's love, we know, we experience God's love. Experiencing and then expressing God's love, as we've said this morning, is at the heart, the very foundation of our faith, to love God and to love others. God's greatest command is to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. But we can only love him because he first loved us. It's because we have experienced God's love that we are able to love God as he loves us, and that we're able to love others. It's because we have experienced God's love that we were able to see beyond the way the world thinks with its short-sighted possibilities, and to know the will of God in his wider purpose, which according to Romans 8:28 is to work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If we go back to the Old Testament, we see that knowledge told Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God was capable of saving them from the fiery furnace. But wisdom told them that God's sovereign plan for his people did not necessarily require them to live. Either way, their faith in God was not shaken because they trusted in his sovereign plan. Wisdom gave them a broader perspective than knowledge of their surrounding circumstances with its narrow-minded possibilities, which was basically just death. Wisdom gave them a broader perspective than knowledge could ever give them. In other words, their minds were not deceived by the way the world thinks with its blinkered vision. They were not like the fool who says no to God. They were not like the wicked who fail to delight in the law of the Lord, but prefer to ignore and reject it. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:13, and says, "But the wicked," taking up the theme from Psalm 1, "but the wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived." You see, the deceived mind says no to God and no to his word. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. The ancient Greeks were very proud of their advanced level of thinking, and we still read and praise the intellect of their great philosophers like Plato and Aristotle. But Paul, he was not all that impressed with them. He, along with Donald Trump, probably saw it all as fake wisdom. He told the Greek Christians, so the people in the same country where these philosophers lived, he told the Greek Christians in Corinth to base their lives on the demonstrated power and love of God and not on merely human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 says, "My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God." It's interesting to see how Paul describes earthly or human wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 1 of that Corinthians letter, Paul says he didn't proclaim the gospel with lofty words or wisdom. And in chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says he did not use plausible words of wisdom. You see, the wisdom of the world can sound quite erudite, quite learned or scholarly. And the arguments put forward are generally intelligent, reasonable, plausible. Just like the devil put forward a plausible plan when he tempted Jesus. But a plausible plan is not the same as God's perfect plan. The devil had no desire at all to submit to the will of God. Thus, his plausible plan was really fake wisdom. When Paul proclaims the gospel, he is speaking words of wisdom, but he says it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So the question we come to is, how then can we come to know this wisdom from God? And Paul says, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul says that the things which no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So Paul is saying only God's Spirit can reveal God's mind or God's wisdom to us. And then he has that encouraging line, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. We have this thing, we may understand. It's not foreign to us or hidden from us anymore. He goes on to say, and we speak of these things. Which things? The things Paul referred to earlier, the things of God. We speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. All Christians have access to the wisdom of God via the Spirit of God. And if we feel that we lack that wisdom at any point, all we have to do is ask, and God will give it to us, as James says in chapter 1, verse 5 of his letter. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. What all this means in practice is that we find it incredibly difficult, incredibly hard, to communicate the wisdom of God to people who only have the wisdom of this world. Paul says, those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they, the gifts of God, are spiritually discerned. And Paul says something similar in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? No wonder we find it so incredibly difficult to communicate the wisdom of God to people who only have the wisdom of the world. For they see our message as foolishness, and we see their wisdom in the same way. We are like people arguing in languages that are foreign to each other. It's very hard to communicate. Yet Paul concludes, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. It's not surprising, really, when you think of who God is. The wise of this world perceive our faith as foolishness, but they are the ones who are deceived. They are the ones who have the deceived minds. We are deceived when we turn our back on God and we pursue our own wisdom. And that's been like that from the beginning, just like Adam and Eve, who ignored God, rejected his word, his command, and were deceived by Satan's fake wisdom. It sounded plausible, but it wasn't God's perfect plan. It's true that you cannot know the mind of God unless God reveals his mind to you. But once God has revealed the true wisdom of his mind to you or to us, then we would be fools to ignore or reject it as they did, Adam and Eve. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. How foolish would it be for us to ignore that or to reject that? And Paul describes Christ in his letter into the Colossians as the image of the invisible God. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Therefore, if we know the mind of Christ, we also know the mind of God. The deceived mind says no to the mind of Christ, because it cannot know or comprehend the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ, and the wise mind seeks and serves the mind of Christ, and that is the will of God. To live under the lordship of Christ is to submit our lives to God's sovereign plan and purpose, which is to work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to that purpose. Living under the lordship of Christ means not conforming to this world and the way it thinks, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is the will of God and act upon it. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. Which one are you? Which one will you be today? Let me conclude this sermon and our series by praying the opening line of a famous hymn. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say.